Harvey Community Radio 96.5 FM is conducting 12 30-minute interviews with local residents in the Harvey area. The series is called Your Stories, Our Community 2024. The volunteers that have agreed to be interviewed come from a diverse range of backgrounds and life experiences. The recorded interviews will be played on HCR 96.5 FM twice per week over a 12-week period, and the local audio content preserved as a historical recording for future generations. Volunteer HCR 96.5 FM announcers will conduct the interviews, and station manager Ian Taylor will coordinate the project and is the producer of the recordings. HCR 96.5 FM is thankful for the financial support for the project provided by Albemarle and the Shire of Harvey.
Welcome, James Junio.
Great to be here, Ian. How are you?
Thanks very much for coming on to Your Stories, Our Community. It's much appreciated.
It's a pleasure to be here.
And your full name, James, and where were you born, and what cultural heritage do you identify with?
Well, my full name is James Alvin Narvaez Junio. I was born in the Philippines in a region called, city called Dagupan in province of Pangasinan, and my cultural heritage is Filipino.
Can you describe what country or region you previously lived in was like at the time you grew up there?
Okay, so I grew up, my family moved to the southwest of the Philippines called Zamboanga. It was a city, they call it now the Latin city of Asia because it's the only place in Asia where they speak Pidgin Spanish, so which is a dialect called Chavacano, and it has a little bit of Spanish, a lot of Spanish words actually, and it's quite unique. So that's why they call it the Latin city of the Philippines. And it was a small town; everyone knew everyone, but we were sort of like migrants, just like I am here right now in Harvey. So we migrated from the north down to the south. And my parents spoke a different language, and so we had to adapt to the culture there. So even if it's the same country, it's a different culture as well. And it was quite multicultural as well, different religions. There's mainly Catholic and a lot of Muslim as well, but a lot of migrants as well from different provinces. But it was a great time to be in, you know. No computers yet. People play around with their neighbors. You know, you'd ask for tomatoes when you got one from the neighbors. So it was such a friendly environment that I lived in, to be honest.
And with the different dialects, did it take a while to get used to that? Or how did you go adjusting to that?
My parents struggled with the dialect. But, my parents struggled because obviously they were adults by then. But I was, I think, 2 weeks old when I moved there. So we adapt easily quite to the dialect. We were speaking Chavacano and, you know, at school, but at home, obviously, we decided to speak in English because my mom spoke in Tagalog and my dad spoke this dialect called Pangalatok. So just to have a compromise, we might as well speak in English. So yeah. that's how we spoke at home and then in the community.
And as you say, it was a great, happy growing up experience. With no screens, as you just said, no screens, no technology.
Oh, we had, I think we had a 14-inch TV, black and white, and, you know, no remote. So the remote would be the children, obviously. Dads and moms would say, you know, James, change the channel to channel 4 or channel 9. And then you have to walk from the lounge to the TV. And it was just a small screen. But we had a great neighbor, actually, and we played all these Filipino games. One was, well, obviously hide and seek, you know, and up to when it gets dark, we would play a game called Shatung. We would play a game where, like tag at home. And our neighbor, he was like an Indiana Jones, actually, and he used to climb coconut tree, harvest the coconut, and then we'll eat it right then and there. You know, he had this big, thick, like a samurai, so shorter than a samurai. Yeah. We call it a bolo, like a machete, and then we will eat it right then and there. And it was just fun. And my neighbors used to have, instead of a fence, they had like a guava tree lining their property. And after school, I would just leave my bags at my parents' place and then just climb the guava tree, have a salt on my hand, and eat it right there on top of the tree.
How nice is that, though?
Yeah, so just I enjoyed my childhood.
Yeah, that wouldn't happen too much these days, would it?
Not much these days, but I guess, you know, a lot of parents have found that technology actually takes away some of the enjoyments of childhood, and for them to just reestablish that to their children, you know, how the importance of having social skills, learning things on the park, you know. And I'm glad that, like, what we have in Harvey, we now have the skate park next to the pool. And I think that's something positive for a town, you know, to just socialize and to learn the new skills without having to go on the screen all the time, 24/7.
Because, as we all know, there's way too much of it.
Yes, yes.
And I think you said that very nicely, that getting outdoors and doing things and communicating and mixing with others, yes. I mean, that's what it's all about.
Exactly.
And that's what it should be.
Correct.
But things are changing a little bit. But that's okay. And describe your family arrangements growing up. And do you still have family members over there? Yeah. Please.
Yeah, well, sadly, my mom and dad passed away a few years ago. My brother passed away before my parents did in 2003. So I only have my brother in the Philippines. Now, he stays in our ancestral home in a place called Cavite, which is the next province from the capital, Manila. Yeah, he's doing okay. He's married to his wife. Both of them are doctors. My brother's an ophthalmologist, and my sister-in-law is a gynecologist, obstetrician. So, yeah, I'm trying to convince them to fly to Australia, but I think their preference is Europe at the moment.
So they're very, very talented siblings,
yeah.
Really, aren't they?
Yeah, they're good. They're good. But, you know, you hope to be able, especially at our age, try to connect with them more, knowing that we're growing old. And I think it'll be important. I would love to go there more often, but
And would have been difficult losing your brother. What was that, in 2003?
2003. I think, you know, for all of us, believe that it's hard when a parent loses their child before them, you know, they passed away before them. So
definitely,
that was really hard for my mom, particularly because he passed away on her birthday.
That would be very,
that was
very difficult.
Devastating, because they were actually getting ready for birthday celebration, I think. So he was getting ready to he was having a shower, and then for some reason they couldn't find him, and then they just saw him in the shower, sprawled and passed away, you know. But my mom is quite resilient, you know, she got over it, but obviously it's gonna be painful. I don't think people can get over the death of their child, but I think, you know, they learn to live with it. And
that,
again, move forward.
That is so correct.
Mm.
Yeah, for sure. And memories of growing up as a child.
Yeah.
Have you got any? How did you?
I just enjoyed my childhood, I think. You know, like, my parents were quite free-willing, to be honest. Like, I had my classmates would do sleepovers at my place, and then they would allow us as well to hopefully my children won't hear this, because I haven't really allowed sleepovers. But yeah, we would, but we, see, the thing is, we knew each other very well, and it's a small community, so there's that. I wouldn't say that we don't trust families nowadays, but it's just so tight-knit before.
Tight connection.
Tight connection. So we would, I would sleep over at my friend's family's place. We knew each other. We would go to the beach. My high school friends, we would just go to the beach and we enjoy stuff there. But nothing. I think some people would call my childhood boring, but I think we had fun. You know, we socialized. We did a lot of games. So it was quite a fun childhood.
That's how it should be too. I think that's a great answer, actually. Well said. And what about some of the things you loved about where you grew up, and what do you miss the most of the country of origin?
Oh, my. I miss the food, to be honest. In the place where we lived, in Zamboanga, there was just a lot of seafood. So lobsters, crabs, shrimp.
No wonder you miss the food.
They were so common, and I mean, and they're so cheap as well. And fruit, you know, there was just a variety of fruit. And I remember my dad used to work in another island, so he would be there from Monday to Friday, and then the boat comes on Friday afternoon, and then sometimes he will grab this big, like, it's like a almost half a barrel of fruit, and one of them was lanzones. And you don't have it here because it's tropical fruit.
I was going to say, could you explain, please?
It's like, what is it? It's like loquit, but a little bit sweeter.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that, and then, I'm not sure if you've heard of durian.
I have. I wouldn't know what it looks like, but I have heard.
Yeah, it's spiky. It's a fruit that's quite spiky on the outside. And then it's like custard inside, so with a big seed with a yellowish flesh. Now, some Westerners don't like the smell, and it's banned on airplanes because of it.
Because of the smell.
Of the smell. Yeah. So they would call it, some people would describe it as, it smells like hell, but it tastes like heaven.
And as you said before, it's not the prettiest of looking fruits, is it?
No, it's not.
With those spikes. That's what I remember about Dorian, seeing the photos of them, and I went, wow, that doesn't look too nice at all.
Yes, and I think it's dangerous to harvest them, you know, because it's quite a tall tree. Yeah. And if it drops on your head, goodbye.
It's all over Red Robe?
It's all over, yeah.
Oh, that's a worry, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, dear. And have you been able to return or visit to your country of origin?
Oh, yeah, since 2008. I think we've been, because I moved here in 2008. I think I've been back to the Philippines about 5 or 6 times. Some of those with my family, so they have enjoyed the Philippines as well.
Great for the kids.
Great for the kids to meet family, to meet cousins, to see a different culture. And I think, you know, you appreciate where you live more when you go to another country. I mean, there's pros and cons for staying in any other country. But I guess the opportunities that you have here, the way of life, the healthcare that you have here, I guess it's top-notch as compared to the Philippines.
That
kind of support that you have here.
So it's great, as I said before, for the kids to see both sides of that experience, both cultures.
Mm.
And I gather they feel quite lucky when they come home.
Yes, they do. But also they miss the people, I think, in the Philippines. It's like when I remember when I first landed here in Australia, bam, into Perth, and I was driving out the... There was hardly any people, you know. Everyone was, like, all you see is houses and there was no people. In the Philippines, it's like, you land and everyone's in your face.
It's just all so close. Yeah.
I mean, it's like you're in an elevator 24/7. And I remember one time there was this lady who I met who flew to the Philippines for quite some time, and we were getting in touch, and she said, "I need some space." And you know what? I didn't quite understand what she meant by that. I said, "What do you mean? You need some space?" Because I have never been to Australia.
Yeah.
And she said, "I need some space." And then, and then when I flew to Australia and I saw the vast expanse of space that you got here, and hardly any people, I said, "Okay, now I get it.
Now I know what she's talking about." Yeah.
Now I knew. Yeah.
Oh, that's a funny story, isn't it? You're listening to James Junio on Your Stories, Our Community, on Harvey Community Radio, 96.5 FM. We'll have a little break, James, but I was just wondering, have you got a song for us to play midway through our interview?
That's interesting. Don't Stop Believing, have you got that?
Oh, yes, yes.
By Journey.
Let's have a listen. And that was Don't Stop Believing by Journey. Great song there, James.
Yeah, amazing song.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, do you speak your cultural language, and where would you mostly speak it?
Well, like I mentioned before, I speak Chavacano. That was my, I would say, first language. Second language after English. Chavacano, and that's a very original language just spoken by Zambongueños in in the southwest part of the Philippines. And as I traveled around the Philippines, I went to college, uni in Cebu. They speak another dialect called Cebuano. And then I moved to Manila, which is the capital, and that's when I learned the national language, which is Filipino or Tagalog.
And that would have been a learning curve too, wouldn't it?
It would be, but yeah, and it's every region has their own culture as well. So the Chavacano has a quite different culture, and it's not just about the language, it's about how people relate to each other. And in Cebuano, it's a different culture altogether as well. And in Manila, it's quite different. So it's not just you learn the language, you learn the cuisine, the culture. And then I moved to Cebu, a different language and culture as well. And then Manila, different culture. And
so do you find when you go to those different cultures, you just sort of slip into that culture, that way of speaking? Or
yes.
How does it work?
Yeah. It's easier. Here in Harvey, the majority of the migrants of Filipino heritage speak Bisaya or Cebuano. So that's the main culture here. So, and then there's a few Tagalog as well. So it's interesting because when you speak to two different people at the same time, you're in you're having a meal together, and I speak Cebuano to one, my whole countenance changes, the tone of my voice changes, the way I speak to them, I think my personality changes as well. And then when I speak Tagalog, I sort of like have to switch into that kind of culture and person. Not
but your mind and body just knows to do that with those particular people.
Yes, and then Chavacano, I haven't practiced that because I don't think there's any Chavacano here in Harvey, except I've met one in Bunbury. And so when I learned that she was Chavacano, it just, you know, there's this just excitement, you know, being able to speak that language.
You go, that's amazing. You can actually speak it. Yeah,
and then just blah, 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 blah. And it's got like a Spanish intonation, like, ¿Qué tal tú? ¿Cómo estás? ¿Dónde tú ahora? No, no.
So all very, very fast,
very
Italian?
Similar to Italian, and quite passionate as well, similar to Italian. So, and I miss those kinds of things, the conversation. And there's obviously different cultures have different ways of saying jokes.
And that could be interesting at times.
So
too.
And so the way you share jokes or the way you have banter is quite different as well. So that's what I think you miss when you do it in a different culture, because the banter, the jokes, the thing is quite contained in that particular culture.
So you'd have to be a little bit careful too, wouldn't you, with the jokes you choose?
Yes. I think Filipinos, we generally like to laugh at ourselves, and we don't mind, you know, self-deprecating humor sometimes.
That's great.
So I think I would hardly say that I try to play safe in jokes when I'm with Filipinos. We like banter. We like putting ourselves down. Well, of course we are a proud race as well. We honor those who have done success and everything. But I think we also can laugh at ourselves. You know, and I think that's part of resilience. You know, when you
and that's so important.
Yes, when you're struggling or when you think you can laugh at yourself, okay, you know, there's another day. You can go ahead. You can still pursue something that you're passionate about. Yeah, and laugh at yourself and laugh at your mistakes sometimes.
Yeah, you know? I think that's the way to go. I think it's excellent. Great way of going.
Yeah.
And what about to your children at home? What dialect or what do you speak at home?
They hate me for not teaching them Tagalog and Filipino. At school, they learn Italian, but it's quite limited. But we speak, obviously, in English because I think that's more convenient for them. And I think the difficulty with us having to teach them Tagalog is that my wife was born here in Harvey, and she's Italian as well, so she doesn't know the dialect. So it'll put her out of place as well if I speak to them in Tagalog or Bisaya.
It would do too, wouldn't it? Mm. So you've got three different sort of languages, really, haven't you? Italian and Filipino and Australian,
Yeah, and my wife, she speaks Calabrese, which is the regional language of Calabria, so she doesn't speak the proper Italian. So that's also the different, not really, well, the difficulty as well, because Grace and Judith, my daughters, they speak the proper Italian from school. Yeah. And my wife speaks Calabrese. So
yes, there's a little bit of difference there as well.
Yeah.
Oh, it's interesting though, isn't it?
Mm.
And are you able to provide us with some words spoken in your cultural language and then interpreted in English? Now I'm putting to the test.
Well, in Chavacano we say "ketal," which is "how are you?"
How are you?
And in Tagalog we can say "kumusta," which is "how are you" as well. But it's taken from Spanish, isn't it? ¿Cómo está? But the Tagalog is ¿Cómo está? I'm trying to understand how to say. In Bisaya, you say "kaun nata," which is "let's eat."
Kaun nata.
Kaun nata.
Kaun nata.
Oh, kaun nata. Let's eat. Come on.
Yeah, let's eat.
So it's if you notice that the language is about us, we share. No? Let's eat. So I said, I'm gonna go. You don't say, I'm gonna go to eat. I said, let's eat.
It's a shared version of saying it.
Yeah. So it's, I think there's a word in the Philippines called kapwa, which is the community. And so what it is you actually it's not an individualistic society. You think and you act based on how you would reflect in society, and how does that, you know, and so we're family oriented.
Yes, yeah, so the individualism goes out the window, so to speak.
It can go out the window. There's a pros and cons of that, in the sense of, you know, if you have a dream, that sort of thing, you sort of like have to consult the family. But the beauty of that as well is that you don't only think about yourself. You know, you can think about your dreams, but you also think of that in the context of your family or your community, and how that relates to them, and how you support them, and how you help them. And
that's nice, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's a very nice way of collaborating with them.
I think it's beautiful. You know, like in our culture, when I was young, I remember there was this term called kababayan, which is bayan means community. And the picture that they showed of someone who has kababayan was that, you know, those nipa huts that they have in the Philippines, you know, house in like the coconut. It's just made of like coconut straws and everything. And men go around that house. So when the person moves house, they don't buy another property. They actually put poles under the house and carry the poles on their shoulders. So there's a lot of men, and they walk towards the next property that they're going to
do. I take their house with them.
But that's the culture of kababayan, which is how to support a person. So it's one person needs to move house, then everybody helps to be able to, for that person to accomplish their dream or their goal.
What a friendly and helpful environment.
Yes, yeah. And I think that's something that I think can be instilled for someone like me, still in, you know, move to Australia, to have that kind of attitude of kababayan or kapwa, you know, where you actually look and think about the community in general.
Yeah, it's nice for you to keep that, isn't it? Yeah, no selfishness.
Yeah, no selfishness. Yeah, yeah.
No, very nice. And from a cultural From a cultural perspective, what are some of the biggest challenges for you living in the Harvey area?
I really struggled with work at first, because I flew in here without no job prospects. So I did the hard yard. I did, you know, anything that would, anyone who could really employ me. So I just got any job and everything, and then I've approached Harvey Community Resource Center, the library, research for jobs, for opportunities, and then I learned about TAFE, and so I did that course, community services, and before flying to the to Australia, I was in I was doing volunteer work to help out those who are on the streets in Manila, the street kids, you know, the prostitutes, those who are into drugs, that sort of thing, and so I thought, well, why don't I use that experience to do something similar of a job here? And so that's why I took up community services in TAFE. And after graduating, it took me a few months to get employed because they had to vet me, as you know, with when you're working with children, that sort of thing.
Yes, go through the vetting process.
Working with children check, but other than not just that, they didn't even have to vet me from here in Australia. They had to vet me as well internationally. So I had to have, one was a 395 form, like approval process with DCP, and then they had to vet me as well.
Okay, so it took quite some time.
It took quite some time, yeah. I think 6 months, and then suddenly I got employed and I said, yes, you know.
I'm working,
and yeah, that sort of like did that process as well. And I remember, and I think that's what I like about Australia, you know, that term where you say, give it a go, just go for it, you know. So I was working in a petrol station, right? And I was thinking, I was doing this difficult shift from 12 midnight to 6:30. And I was mopping the floors and I was thinking, oh, you know, what opportunities are available there? And I was just struggling because I was, I would probably have 3 hours sleep and then travel for 30 minutes. And then after my shift at 6:30, I have to travel another 30 minutes to go back to home. And I'd go drowsy when I was driving back, you know. And I remember I had to take the coffee at around 2 o'clock. So they will keep me awake at 6:30.
It's 6:30,
but not
to
awake that I won't be able to sleep after my shift. Yeah.
It's a fine line.
It's a fine line. And I was really struggling, you know. And so then I took up community services, you know, went to community, did some volunteer work with community. I've attended some advisory groups. I joined different volunteer groups here in Harvey, in the town. And then I ran for council. I'm not sure if you know about this, but I failed on the first try, which is 2021, but I was successful on the second try in 2023. And you know what? You know, with this thing, this concept of having a fair go, I was working at that petrol station that is next door, which is separate only by that street from the council chambers.
Straight across the road.
Across the road.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Isn't that amazing, you know? And
the way that worked.
And the way that worked. And I think it's just that, I think in Australia there's that concept that anyone can if you do have a fair go, if you just believe in yourself as well as step out of your comfort zone and face your fears, I think they will reward, you know, you'll be rewarded richly here in Australia.
Yeah, very wise words. Mm. And people can move from one job to another if they choose to do so.
Exactly.
Which has always been a great thing for many people. Mm. Because
there's a lot of opportunities
experiences and opportunities to do. So you're obviously very community-minded, which has put you in good stead for everything you've done.
Mm. Mm. And I think I have learned with my time in, you know, volunteering for the street kids, and I think it helped me understand and be empathic of those who are struggling, as well as enhance my leadership skills as well. Because this is volunteer work; we're not paid to do stuff.
Oh, that's so true.
So the way to convince people and to encourage them and to see the purpose of your vision or your goal, and finding what that translates to benefiting you in a sense, because it's such a giving role that you're putting yourselves in, but then it has to translate it. What does it do to you? Not that you're expecting anything in reward monetarily, but like, how does it fit to you as a person? How does it make you better? And how does it make you find purpose in your life? And I think that's the way when you become doing some volunteer work like that, leadership is quite the key in being able to retain volunteers as well create a vision and direction to the organization that you're part of.
Yeah, and very good for you. You're good within yourself.
Mm.
Thank you for that. Helping, but it's terrific. You're able to do that, and what's good for the community as well as yourself. So it's a win-win,
Kapwa.
Really, isn't it? Yeah.
Go back to that word.
There you go. Back to it. And what would be some of the practical things that would assist you with the challenges you face here in WA?
I think I'll just talk about Harvey in particular. I think Harvey has such a great culture of helping out people, you know. And I think if someone is honest enough and humble enough to say, hey, I need help, people actually really want to help you. And I think that's where, you know, for a migrant like me or someone who feels isolated, I think what you have to do is just put yourself out there and say, be honest and say, hey, I need help. Where can I get help? And some people actually not just point you to the right direction, but actually help you right there and there. You know, I've been a follower of the Harvey Notice Board, and I see such a great community spirit. You know, someone struggling and suddenly they just help them.
It does, doesn't it? It's very strong. It's just very, very strong.
And it's just amazing. I don't think I've seen another community like Harvey respond in such an amazing way to someone who's struggling. And you know, and there's a lot of services here that are helping out as well. I mean, there's the Harvey Community Resource Center, there's the library, there's another which I think they're probably gaining popularity, and there's this combined churches that are now aligned with the Harvey Community Resource Center to help those who are struggling financially at the moment. You know, people coming together
good,
for a
strong resources
purpose,
to have, you know? in a small town, such as Harvey.
I
not
know.
That it's that small, but it's great to have that backup
exactly
of those people and those resources.
Exactly, yeah.
Good answer.
Thank you.
And I'll start that again. And James, hopes and aspirations for the future.
I think I hope for me. I hope that someone listening to this can be inspired and say, hang on, you know, you might be coming from a different culture or you might struggle with life in Australia. I would probably say, you know, talk to people who have gone before you, seek help, be honest with where you are, and be also have dreams and goals for your life. And once you put your hand up or hand out or step into something that you like to move, sometimes what you would know is only the next step. But for you to take that next step helps you open up the doors that are in front of you. You know, sometimes the lamp that you are walking with, you know, it might be a dark place, you're holding a lamp, you're walking, that light illuminates only the first few steps, but you have to take it. Take it with take it with confidence or even with fear. And I think that would help you accomplish the dreams and goals that you have. And I hope that I'll be able to continue on serving the community, you know, as a counselor, and probably even not as a counselor. I think that's just a title that's used to say what we're job, you know. It's not necessarily something to say that I'm up there or anything like that, but that I have a specific job. But anyone can make a difference in someone else's life. Anyone can make a difference in our town. You know, you see, and I think the lifeblood of our town or our community really are the volunteers, you know, who run different nonprofit organizations or who run different causes within the community, who probably want to remain anonymous, you know. They don't.
A lot of them do.
Yeah,
yes.
They don't like too much fanfare. They think, but they have a specific purpose, and I hope that we as a community will continue on that legacy of those who have gone before us. And I remember, and I've always I live close to that, you know, that on the river, there's that big sculpture of spades with
yes,
a letter
I
H. And I always go back to that time when there was a famine in Western Australia, and then people were brought to Harvey to build that causeway going from the river going to the sea, isn't it? And they only had to apparently work 2 days because there was not enough money to go around. And so they had to swap shifts. You're not allowed to work for more than just 2 days.
Because so it was a fair arrangement for everybody.
For everybody.
Employed on the project.
Yeah. Employed on the project. So there was just enough for everyone to go around. And you just have to work for 2 days because there was not going on. But they did it, you know, and they struggled. But they had the same purpose of building that to be able to do a project, but also to be able to survive. And I think that's one of, I think, the cultures of Harvey that I think I would like to see going forward, you know, for people to think, you know, I might be, I might have a lot of this, maybe I can share with that. And for those that are struggling, they will know that they're going to be supported and helped and assisted, you know, in what they're struggling with.
For sure. And what a positive affirmation to close our conversation with today. But really appreciate those words of wisdom, very wise. And one step at a time. But if you don't get out there and try, well, it won't just come to you.
Yeah, so yeah, thank you, Ian, for giving me the time and the opportunity to spend time here. It was really a pleasure and a joy.
No, it's been much appreciated, James Gino. Thank you for joining us on Your Stories, Our Community 2024. It's been an absolute pleasure. And you've been listening to Ian talking to James Gino on Harvey Community Radio 96.5 FM, because it is your town talking. Now, James, before we go, a song to go out with.
The Voice by John Farnham.
The Voice. Great song. All right. Thanks very much, James. And here comes John Farnham with The Voice.
How did that go?
What we wanna write, we gotta make it.